welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the new Central Texas Command Center of the Alex Jones Network. Very glad you're here with us for this Monday afternoon broadcast. Looks like the war in Iran is back on, basically. The short-lived and possibly non-existent ceasefire has basically been broken now. Missile alert, emergency in Dubai as Iran fires four missiles at UAE for the first time since the U.S. and Tehran agreed to the ceasefire. They've also struck ships in the in the Straits of Hormuz. And Trump's response has been a little bit interesting, kind of questionable. I believe they hit a South Korean ship, and Trump's response was, well, maybe South Korea should get involved now. Which is like, well, it's not really their fault. They weren't really the ones who started this whole mess. So you have to wonder how they're feeling about it. And we also have video that I can show you later of some of the people around Trump basically saying, yeah, we decided not to, you know, spread news about this until we could really figure out exactly what was going on. And they're sort of saying it without saying it. They didn't want Trump flying off the handle and doing something stupid, which is a very strange position to be in, I imagine, as a general, that you're commander-in-chief. It's just not going well. I guess in a word, you could say it's still not going well, and we continue to be flailing, and then you go to the MAGA supporters on X, and they're all saying that we've already won, we have completely, absolutely dominated, and we're just continuing to win, and these attacks are just like, whatever, who cares? UAE reports first missile drone attack since Iran's ceasefire. And we can show you some pretty astonishing videos of that later, of course. Meanwhile, we have some updates to, I got a lot of updates to the California governor's race. And I'm not sure if this is just because it's my, you know, X algorithm, you know, give me a warped perspective. But I've seen like so much posted about this mayor's race in the last few days. It's got me convinced that's something we need to focus on, because Spencer Pratt is so clearly just far and away the better candidate. But there is some scheming going on in the background. There is some cooperation from the Democrats and the Socialists to try to box out Spencer Pratt. And he continues to sort of dominate across the entire spectrum in terms of the messaging, the popularity on social media, going on Joe Rogan and telling some pretty incredible stories there. I want to get into that also, since I think it's sort of symbolic of the rest of the country and the inexplicable nature of the left. Really, maybe that's the way to put it. We showed the video already. The front runner of the California governor's race is this woman, socialist woman. And the first thing I saw about her was the video that I played last week of her basically saying, what's the big deal if homeless people are 500 feet away or 10 feet away from your kid's elementary school? And the whole crowd she's addressing boos, and then she gives the biggest, most dramatic eye roll ever. And so in that way, I think it's symbolic or emblematic of what's happening to America at large. On one side, you have just genuine idiots who are going to make your life safer and just like think it's hilarious when you protest, when you say, hey, I don't want homeless people shooting up drugs inside my children's elementary school. And they give you the dramatic, exaggerated eye roll. Okay. Oh, sorry. I guess you don't want people shooting up inside your elementary school. Hoity-toity bourgeois attitude about homeless felons and your children. And it's like, who is going to vote for this person? And the answer is like half of our country. Half of our country. I don't, you know, God bless them, but what the hell is wrong with them? And what do we have to do to wake them up? I mean, I can understand if it's a golden-tongued, you know, seductress that just says all the right things, but they're voting for people that are just like, we're going to take all your money and give your children to felons. And people are just like, but I'm racist if I don't vote for you. Okay, you get my vote then. I don't like it, but here we go. It's like, this is retarded. In a word, you got to fight the retards. We'll be right back.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, The Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the info war.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Watching the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live on the Alex Jones Network. That's alexjoneslive.com, alexjoneslive.com. Share that link. It's the new home of the old site, and we've got all the articles there, all the videos there, streaming there, of course, streaming on Rumble app as well. War Room Live. You can follow us on X at War Room Show. And please do your part in sharing this information as we cover this stuff. And I think we will start with California, old California, and the way that Spencer Pratt is really, he really has an opportunity to do something incredible here, which is win as a conservative in LA and fix all of the problems that could so easily be fixed if just absolutely anybody felt like trying. Yeah, we're going to have to talk about this and break it down a little bit. And we'll start with a little bit of a longer video from Spencer Pratt, but I think it's worth it to show the whole thing because he really breaks down like who the left is and who the Democrats are, and that this is the establishment now. Like, the people we're talking about are not the radicals. They are radical, but they're not the fringe. They're not the, you know, crazy people that aren't welcomed in the Democratic in crowd. This is the Democratic in crowd and the premier examples of Democratic politicians here in America today are open and avowed communists. Now, they might disguise that as they need to in order to get elected because they are relentlessly dishonest. And they know full well, they are perfectly aware that if they were honest about their intentions, honest about their views, honest about their policies, nobody would vote for them. And so they actually see it as a virtue to lie because, you know, obviously they know better than everybody else. Obviously, all of their talk about democracy is absolute bullcrap. And they want to impose upon you whatever they think is best for you, regardless of your opinion in the matter. So if they have to lie to you to get them to give them the power so they can then wield it in whichever way that they want, a way that you would have never allowed them to get the power if you knew that's how it was going to be used. We've seen this with Alison Spanberger. We've heard major Democratic Party operatives like James Carville advocate for this, basically say, yeah, you got to lie. You got to lie to the people. You got to just pretend you're a moderate, pretend you're normal, pretend you're not a radical avowed communist in order to get elected, because only by doing that are we going to get the communism and socialism that these people want to shove down our throats. So this is Spencer Pratt, clip number one, talking about Karen Bass being a complete and total and literal communist. Let's watch.
Sura is a communist. Now, when I was 19, 20, I was living in an apartment on Skid Row, getting my political science degree at USC. That's as LA as it gets, dude. But do you know what Karen Basura was doing at that age? You guessed it, going to Cuba to support the communist revolution and Fidel Castro's oppressive regime. What? Karen Basura is a card-carrying member of the communist front group, the Venceremos Brigade, an anti-American communist solidarity organization in which she actively worked for years to undermine the U.S. and prop up the communist revolution in Cuba. Does this sound normal to you? Who in the heck spends their 20s supporting a violent communist dictatorship in a foreign country? What were you doing at 19 years old? Some reports have shown that Karen Basura's communist organization was actually involved in intelligence training ops on behalf of the Cuban regime, and some of the members actually bombed the U.S. Capitol in 1983. There's a legitimate possibility that Karen Basura is a literal communist spy, which actually might explain why such an experienced politician has been so effective at destroying America's greatest city in just a few short years. Well, now you know what her experience is. Some of you may not remember, but she was actually the front runner to become Joe Biden's VP pick for 2020. But that went up in flames almost immediately once people dug up her commie past and saw her foreign sympathies in statements following Fidel Castro's death when she called it a great loss. She used to refer to Castro as comandante en jefe. And for those of you who don't habla español, that means commander-in-chief. Now, I don't know about you, but the president of the United States is always my commander-in-chief. But not Karen Basura. Her commander-in-chief is the communist dictator of Cuba. Right now, Cuba's in the news because the oppressed people who have suffered under the horrific communist regime are rising up to fight for freedom. You'll notice how much Latino immigrants and especially Cuban immigrants hate communism because they know firsthand how evil communism is. They have experienced the empty store shelves, the decrepit infrastructure, the choking censorship and surveillance, the secret police thugs, the death and destruction that Fidel Castro and other commie dictators ushered in. Communism is responsible for more mass death in just the last century than anything else in the history of the world. Over 100 million people have been killed by communist regimes in China, Cambodia, the Soviet Union, from forced famines, purges, gulags. Communism is an evil, anti-human ideology dressed up as some idealistic form of equity and fairness, and yet somehow it always ends up with millions of people dying in forced labor camps or starving to death. Communism is just a religion of malcontents where instead of worshiping in a righteous God, they worship the state. And whatever the state says goes. We don't learn enough about the evil scourge on our planet, and communism is genuinely evil. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It preys upon the malcontents of society to fuel the revolution. But America never fell victim to this ideology. We didn't have enough malcontents to fuel the revolution in America. You had the ability to actually work your way into the American dream. You could buy a home, have your own slice of American soil, raise a family, speak freely, worship freely. But now, as that gets more and more out of reach for young Americans, and especially young Californians and Angelenos, there's a growing population of malcontents, angry, jaded, cynical. And that is exactly the fertilizer that communists like Karen Basura use to seed the revolution. Notice how the riots are increasing, burning cars, smashing businesses, looting, stopping the freeway, attacking police officers. You all can see communism starting to take root because lifelong communists like Karen Basura have made life harder and harder here, and that is on purpose. Well, guess what, Karen? This ain't your Cuban commie kibbutz you're running. This is Los Angeles. This is America. I still believe in the American dream, and I'm not going to let you turn L.A. into your tribute to your comandante en jefe, Fidel Castro. Our Latino brothers and sisters have seen the evils of communism, and they are done with it. So let me help you out, Karen. I'll take your job, and you can go retire in Havana. We are going to restore the dream that Los Angeles used to be. Go to mayorpratt.com and donate. Support my campaign. And unlike the communists like Karen, who want to take your money, I want to earn your money. And I will make it my life's mission to earn your support as mayor of Los Angeles.
Just absolutely incredible stuff from Spencer Pratt. Again, I think obviously he'd probably make a great mayor. I think when you compare him to the two people he's running against, Karen Bass and this socialist woman, there's just no question. But even more important than that, he gives the argument against communism that you almost never hear. People say communism is bad. Like, we stopped educating people as to why communism's bad, and we just kind of expect them to get it. Now, those of us who actually enjoy history and read history and look at the way that, you know, human society responds to some of the claims made from the foundational text of communism, like, it's obvious why communism's bad. We don't even necessarily need it explained to us. It's just imminently apparent once you think about it for a little while. It is totally contrary to human nature and can never work. But people need to learn that. People need to be told that. Because the reality is exactly as Spencer Pratt just laid out, and it's the argument I've made for a very long time, and I always relate it back to a book by Mario Puzo, who wrote The Godfather, and he wrote another book sort of related to The Godfather. And I always talk about this one passage in the book where the guy in Italy, the Italian, is saying, look, I understand why people gravitate towards communism. It's the only political ideology that promises to pull them up out of poverty, that says, hey, this, you know, feudal system that has you trapped as a peasant, like, we're going to shatter it and uplift you. So of course people are going to go over to it. But then he says communism is the only one that makes that promise, except for America. Except for America. America was always the promised land for breaking out of these old world sort of calcified social structures. We didn't need communism. It was not like there was no possible way to break out of these old calcified structures except for communism. No, Americanism was the way. Americanism said and fulfilled its promise of, you come here, you work hard, you obey the law, and you will succeed. You will do well. You will, if you're capable, rise to that higher bracket, rise to that, you know, supreme class of people. Like, it totally shattered the whole class paradigm. And in America, it made it all kind of ridiculous. And that's what we've lost. We've lost that by incrementally moving away from that, incrementally moving away from capitalism, moving away from self-sufficiency, moving towards dependency, moving towards, you know, government control. That's why everything is worse. We haven't become more conservative since the 60s, right? We haven't become more traditional in our culture since the glory days, which just get more and more glorious the farther and farther you go back. Like, it's a direct, it's not like we had like, oh, we had a really good time in the 50s and then not a great time in the 70s and then the 80s were really great. No, it's been basically a total downhill collapse. I mean, depending on what exactly you measure by. The problem is that we almost exclusively measure success of the nation by GDP, which is completely divorced from, if not at odds with, the actual well-being of the people in the country. So we've had decade upon decade of ever-rising GDP while our quality of life has ever diminished. And I don't think that's particularly a coincidence. But if you don't make these arguments, of course people are going to go with the socialists. Of course they're going to go with the communists because, you know, just like Italy, you know, trying to break out of the feudal system, there's only one side that is making the argument and appealing to the people who are affected negatively by the current economic construct of America, or the world for that matter. So of course you got all these people saying, I went to school forever, I have all of this debt, now I'm having to live in my car, I can't get a job. And of course we know that for the last 10 years, especially white Christian men have been severely discriminated against in the marketplace. And well, really white, all white people, but white men especially, but white women as well, have been totally screwed over and by the system that deliberately discriminates against them. Now, when they look around and go, what the hell is this? Why am I not getting the reward for my hard work? Why am I not, you know, getting the other end of the deal? I fulfilled my part. I did what I was supposed to do. And now a bunch of less qualified people from other countries are taking the jobs that should be set aside for me. This is outrageous. This is ridiculous. And the Republicans look over at them and say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I did it. You can too. Not realizing that, or not acknowledging that the economic situation is so vastly, unrecognizably different than it was when they were young. You have to have empathy for these people. And you have to explain that the reason the economy sucks is because socialists have been in charge for a while. The reason you can't get a job is because of anti-white, you know, racially motivated, hateful, socialist, equality-driven crypto-communists have destroyed our economy in an effort to destroy you. and that the reason everything sucks now is because we've gone so much more towards the left, and the left makes everything worse every single time their policies are adopted, and then they transmute the, you know, suffering and misery that they cause into more people on their side because they're the ones saying, hey, if everything sucks, that's because this old capitalist system, come with us and we'll revolutionize it. And the people join them, not realizing that the actual reason they're suffering is because of these people in the first place. So Spencer Pratt actually makes that argument. He actually lays out, like, why communism is a death cult and why it has to be argued against. And think about it. He said, and I totally believe him, that this Karen Bass woman, who he calls Karen Basura, which is very clever, I think, very catchy. It's going to be hard for me not to start saying that every time I say Karen Bass, Karen Basura. That she was going to be the vice presidential candidate of the United States. Do you think that's, you know, a coincidence? I think the only reason she's not is because she wasn't careful enough at hiding her past. If she had the exact same past, but it was easily, you know, pushed to the side and covered up and, you know, like Obama birth certificate style, just like, yeah, it's illegal to talk about that, actually. Shut up. Then she probably would have still been the vice presidential candidate. She still is the mayor of the second largest city, possibly the most important city in America, L.A., and has systematically destroyed the entire city piece by piece. And then Kamala Harris comes out yesterday and says she has eliminated homelessness and crime in California. And Spencer Pratt just publishes a compilation of just how false that is. So, yeah, these people are ruining our country. These people have and are destroying our country. And again, Spencer Pratt comes out with another video where he makes such a good proactive argument. And maybe this is why I like Spencer Pratt so much, is because he's not a conservative in the traditional sense, as in he's not somebody who is trying to roll back the clock on sort of the cultural things. Like, he's not as focused on that. He's focused on the things that would actually conserve our culture, which is just like basic law and order, and not in a way that's like, oh, we have to constantly defend against the constant encroachment of our rights by the left. But in saying, no, we have to be proactive, I'm going to turn around and attack the left. He said, I'm going to have the IRS in the city hall, you know, to investigate all of the fraud that's gone on. And he's sort of just gone on and on about stuff like that, just saying, we're not, like, we don't have to take this and we don't have to justify our opposition. That's another thing that, like, really wish people would get through their head. You do not need to justify why you deserve a country. It's outrageous and insulting that anybody would ask you to justify your continuing existence. Do you realize how insulted you should be if somebody says, well, why? Why shouldn't, you know, Muslims be able to create their own cities in America? Well, do you do it for Christians? You don't want to do it for Muslims? The answer is, yeah, yes, that's right, correct. We want to do it for Christians and not Muslims. Why? Because we're Christian and not Muslim. That's why. Why? Because we don't want you here. That's why. We don't need an excuse. We don't have to provide them a reason. They are imposing on us. We can simply say no, say get the hell out of here. Say you do not have a right to impose yourself on us, and we do not need to give you a reason why. That's crazy. So here's Spencer Pratt. Again, let's go to clip number two here, talking about what he wants to do, his proactive, positive message that he's running on, which you would have to be a psychopath to disagree with. Let's watch.
As I've been campaigning, the thing that has impacted me the most is meeting hundreds and hundreds of moms. And they're the most activated people in Los Angeles right now. And you know why? Because they don't feel safe. Moms send me messages with stories and videos that are so disturbing. If I were to share them on my accounts, they'd get banned. Crazy drug addicts exposing themselves to their children. Hardcore drug use, assaults. It's shocking what LA moms have to endure because of the reckless policies of Karen Bass and Nithya Raman, who really just don't care about their concerns. It's really shifted my vision in a very real way. I'm realizing that my true mission as mayor is to protect our moms. They need to feel safe. They're scared to just walk their baby stroller to the park and enjoy the weather. They're scared to grab their mobile order at Starbucks. They're on pins and needles sending their kids off to school. I'm sorry, but how have we accepted this? As a man, as a father, nothing is more important than the safety of my children and my wife. Women and children first. We have that maxim for a reason. It's true in an emergency and a that's true for this election. Women and children first. If I accomplish nothing else as mayor, it will be to make moms and their kids feel safe in the city of Los Angeles again.
That's so funny. It's so funny that he uses the term women and children first, because it's sort of the great, you know, clap back to feminism, where it's like, wait, you think our culture is sexist? We literally have a policy where men have to stand and drown on a sinking boat if there's, you know, space for women and children. Like, that's the culture you're trying to replace, is the women and children first culture with whatever else is. Yeah, so this video, Spencer Pratt recorded at his Palisades home shortly before the fire. He said it was one of the last, if not the last, video he filmed before it. And obviously, it makes him look like a freaking Disney princess, which is, I think, probably good for the, you know, general approval rating. But more, even more impactful to me is the fact that, yeah, the Palisades looked like a freaking Garden of Eden. I've never seen that many hummingbirds in one place. You know, in my backyard, we're lucky if we get one or two. Certainly not getting that close to us. Certainly not swarms of them. And so it just goes to show you, like, look at the Palisades now, just desiccated ash heap versus what it was, which was clearly this just explosion of life and, you know, verdant growth. And it's just, again, it's symbolic. I feel like it really is symbolic, where you've got the guy who's actually just the regular dude living in this place that is just, you know, beautiful and took decade upon decade upon decade of, you know, careful management to arrive at this really special sort of neighborhood. And you remember after the fires, we had on Devin Tracy, also known as Atheism is Unstoppable. He lost his family home. And just the way you describe the neighborhood is just this idyllic, classic Americana, like the place where, you know, some of our favorite movies were filmed. And so it's just, it was the face of America. It was the ideal of America. And under the Democrats, it has been burned to ash by the way, an environmental arsonist. And I'll show you the videos of that guy in a little bit later. But all of the wealth and all of the beauty and all of the nature consumed by fire that never should have spread, never should have started, should have been able to be defeated with just basic proper governmental management. Keep the water ready for you. Have people on staff ready to deal with an emergency if you feel like, I don't know, running off to Africa for some reason in the middle of a fire, you know, disaster zone. And of course, we played the video last week of Mayor Bass being recorded before the fire, when she was asked, hey, will you come out as LA mayor and make a statement about fire safety, because we're in a really dangerous condition right now, and a press conference could really get a lot of attention and a lot of awareness and possibly help, you know, prevent the next wildfire. And she says some very suspicious things, saying, I can't really talk to you about it right now, but just wait and see. Just hold on and you'll see. And I don't want to, you know, cause too much worry and suspicion by coming out and talking. And her response literally makes no sense at all until you realize that the whole place burned 2 days later. And then you're like, did she know that it was going to burn? Because that would explain the answer she gave. So I guess the choice is up to California. I mean, do you go with the psychotics that let your city burn and literally despise you and roll their eyes at your basic safety? Or are you going to vote for the guy that's like, I'm going to protect women and children from these psychos?
I have been very blessed and honored in 32 years on air and 28 years of InfoWars to have seen the whole world change. When I first got started, almost nobody knew about the globalists. People were literally in the dark. Look how far we've come. We are exposing them. Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile rings, the poison COVID shots, the open borders, the global wars, the 5G, all of it is coming out. Humanity is rallying. This is the fourth turning. This is the great awakening. It is the answer to their great reset. I am so proud of humanity, and I'm so thankful to all the viewers and listeners who over the years have supported us by prayer, word of mouth, and financial support at thealexjonesnetwork.com. So InfoWars has been shut down, but we've launched the Alex Jones Network. We plan to crank this sucker up. We got new studios, even bigger, being built. And we want to go 19 hours a day live by the end of 2026 from 5 a.m. until midnight. So If I build it, will you come? Yes, I know you will. So now more than ever, go to thealexjonesstore.com and get incredible supplements. Our methylene blue is the best. Our methylene red is proprietary. Our bovine colostrum, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, incredible collectible knives, and so much more. You are literally financing the tip of the spear and the resistance that the tyrants and the globalists hate above everything else. InfoWars is a proven winner. They have a URL. They have an old studio. That means nothing. You are the InfoWar. And if you accept this mission, if you take action, if you spread the word, if you share our links, alexjoneslive.com, the news site, the live feeds, the articles, the videos, it's incredible. If you share the feed with everybody you know at alexjonesapp.com, the free Droid or Apple download of the app, it is insane. All the power lies with you. That's why when callers call in and thank me, I say, thank me. I would fight this no matter what. I'd fight it in a ditch. I'd fight if I was homeless. We're all in this together. You have all the power, but you have to use the power now. Share the feeds to alexjoneslive.com. Share the URL, alexjonesapp.com. And go to thealexjonesstore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel to wear your uniform of liberty openly and proudly. It's such an adventure to wear this apparel and to get the incredible supplements that will empower your life so you'll know how real this is. I only sell stuff that really works, so I want you to get it and take it and love it and have a great response. We have a 90+% reorder rate. So many of you are on the fence. Take action now. Step into a wider world. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and support this broadcast. But regardless, take the feed, take the live links at alexjoneslive.com/show and on Rumble and Relox Shows on X, the Alex Jones Show on Rumble, and share those links, and it changes the world. You are unstoppable when you decide to get up at the plate and take action. This is real. This isn't hype. You've seen the results. Now the ball's in your court. AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action. You are the reincarnation of Paul Revere. You are unstoppable. The globalists are in deep crap. Take action now at AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. And I want to be clear. I don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Network, does. We've got a major deal with Rumble to push our information. It's already top on Rumble, but to supercharge it. The most important coordinate in this fight is rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. We are already at the top of Rumble, but we're going to go even further partnering with them. This is the coordinates of liberty. Take action right now at rumble.com/Alex Jones Live, and we are unstoppable. The power of humanity is unstoppable if you simply unleash it now.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I got a lot of videos to show you, and I want to talk about what's going on with the Iran war. Some interesting developments have occurred there, as well as data centers and just all of the other ways that the powers that be are very obviously and systematically and in an overwhelming fashion destroying our ability to survive off the bounty of nature and want instead absolutely everything to be industrialized and commodified so they can sell back God's bounty to us in exchange for our subservience to them. We never had to make such a deal with God. He just gave it to us for free, but they've decided that we have to earn it from them. And we're not going to let that happen, and we have to be proactive in this, and we have to fight back against them with everything we've got, because it's a combination of Zionism and communism and socialism to weaken our countries, with Zionism there as a almost sacred right for Israel to exist. And these two things combined give you basically the blueprint for globalism. I believe we have one more video of Spencer Pratt, where he's talking to Joe Rogan. And guys, we can bring that one up. I'll just finish off with the Spencer Pratt coverage, although I'm not seeing it in the list. So I may just have to tell you what he said. It's a pretty amazing statement, though. Oh, here it is. Number 7. When Karen Bass was in Ghana, you know, when Los Angeles was burning to the ground, there was a deputy mayor that she had left in charge to deal with any problems that might arise in her absence. Here's Spencer Pratt saying why that wasn't exactly the best way to organize things on Joe Rogan. Let's watch.
Here's really the best part. You know when the mayor was in Ghana as everything was burning down? Do you know who she left in charge? Her deputy mayor. Do you know where the deputy mayor was? The deputy mayor, Mayor Karen Bass's deputy mayor, was on house arrest because he was arrested for calling in a bomb threat to City Hall. This is real life. This is the person that's supposed to take the call because she's in Africa.
Why did he call in a bomb threat to City Hall?
Great question. So that's who the type of people we're dealing with. So when they're like, oh, Spencer, you don't have the experience to be mayor. Well, I promise my deputy mayors that I have on deck, they aren't calling in any bomb threats to City Hall. So we're already starting ahead of the curve. Also, I'm not going in to steal taxpayer money. I'm going in to stop all this. So again, I really believe there's enough common sense people that see that I'm not doing politics. I don't want to do any of this. Politics is a job. These people are career politicians. I never wanted to be a career politician. Before my house burned down, I was selling my healing crystals. They, just to be clear, they have no magical powers. They all burned in my house. So anybody, you know, you're buying them, they, you know, I thought that I had protection energy. They don't. So, you know, and feeding hummingbirds and taking my kids to school. That was my dream life. And they burned it down. And now they have their worst nightmare coming to just undo the whole thing.
Former Los Angeles Deputy Mayor of Public Safety agrees to plead guilty to threatening to bomb L.A. City Hall last year. Now, what was the reason? Brian K. Williams, 61 of Pasadena, is charged in a single count information with threats regarding fire and explosives.
It doesn't have a reason, but it says what he did.
Hmm.
You know, I don't think there's ever a good reason.
Well, you know? I mean, I would like to hear his reason. Bomb threat. I received a call on my city cell phone at 10:48 this morning. The mail caller stated that he was tired of the city's support of Israel, and he's decided to place a bomb in City Hall. So that's it. It might be in the rotunda. I immediately contacted this. So it was about Israel. Wow.
Excuse me, he made it up. Up here it says that he used his Google Voice application on his personal cell phone to place a call to a city-issued cell phone.
Wow.
He then left the meeting and called the chief of staff. Yep.
Mayor Bass.
Is that guy still employed? Find out if that guy's still employed.
So, I mean, this is your country, your state, your city under leftist control. They're literally just rampant criminals. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, everything they do is criminal. Absolutely everything. I mean, the calling the bomb squad, that's just like a sort of extra special moment. But everything these people do is or should be criminal. Whether it's giving out our money by the billions of dollars or handing out drugs to homeless people, like, it's completely insane. And again, the front runner of the California race is the woman who, and I know the crew's been... The only thing that's been a little bit rough about this transition to the Alex Jones Network is just the systems that we had that were so dialed in the old studio of like gathering news and doing all that. We're struggling a little bit here just as we're going to, as we, you know, are trying to shift absolutely everything over. So I appreciate the crew working hard on everything. And I don't mean to throw something else at you, but since I keep mentioning it, maybe it would be nice to see the woman roll her eyes when basically people boo her for saying, what's the big deal with homeless people living on campus at your elementary school? Which, by the way, there are now schools in LA, I believe, being sued because a little girl was sexually assaulted by a random man who wandered into an elementary school and assaulted her. And good, they need to be sued at the very least for allowing this type of stuff to happen. Yeah, that's the one. Oh, does Spencer Pratt respond to it? That's great. I'd like to see Spencer Pratt's response to her. Because it's just one of those things. It's like, you know, I'm used to, like, when I grew up, there was a time where one mistake by a politician and, like, that was it. Y'all remember that guy, Dean, Howard Dean? You remember him? Probably not if you're younger than me, because he one time let out a scream that was so embarrassing, he disappeared. It was one single, hee-ah! And it went so viral and was so negative, he just vanished. He dissolved like the Wicked Witch. It was amazing. Nobody's ever heard from him again. That's how it used to be. And now it's like this woman sits here and says, I don't know why you people want homeless people 500 feet away from your schools. What's the big deal? And everybody like boos her. Like, what are you talking about? No, we don't want homeless drug addict felon weirdos covered in feces leering at my children through the fence. Why would we want that? So, of course, people boo her. And her response is to roll her eyes. And it's like that alone, how is anybody ever going to vote for her? Again, this isn't her, you know, almost any other topic. You know, you could almost see like, all right, I don't agree, but they have a totally different view than me. And like, whatever. It's, you know, it's at least understandable, at least makes cognitive sense. You know, if she was up there going, you know, the immigrants are the real Americans. It's like, okay, that's stupid beyond belief. But I understand how people could be indoctrinated into that view. And it's like, okay, you can make an argument even though it's a bad one that loses. There is still an argument to be. What is the argument to be made for putting homeless people in your elementary school? What is the positive for that? Like, that's what I mean. How can you have a woman rolling her eyes at the idea of child safety? And she's the front runner. And she's a socialist that is a multi-millionaire, by the way. And people just see no problem with this. No problem at all. She literally rolls her eyes at the idea that you don't want anonymous homeless people having access to your elementary school, your child's elementary school. It's crazy, but this is where we are, I guess, now. Do we have that Spencer Pratt response? Because I do want to see what he said about. All right, let's watch Spencer Pratt respond to this woman rolling her eyes at the idea that parents don't want homeless people in their children's elementary school. Let's watch.
Like, I don't think a kid's going to be safer because a tent is 500 feet away from a school. You know, it's...
Crazy Councilwoman Nithya Raman saying it doesn't matter if homeless drug addicts are shooting up, defecating, and exposing themselves to your kids right in front of their schools. Not only did she just vote against clearing encampments again in Venice 2 weeks ago, when you, the concerned mom, voice your objections, she rolls her eyes and says, whatever? This radical socialist is a serious threat to your kids, and she must be stopped from being mayor. Lord only knows how much worse she will get with that power.
Yeah, very good response. It's exactly right. And again, I just like LA schools are such a disaster. It is truly insane. I'm trying to look up the story of the, you know, illegal immigrant who raped a 9-year-old girl because the school just let him in, let him go shopping, I guess, for whatever. You know, unprotected kid having to wander into his grip. Like, even as I'm searching that, it's just like, I forgot about all the other revelations. $200 million and more in taxpayer payouts after LAUSD kids were repeatedly abused. Sexual abuse, sexual assaults, plus sick tasting game feeding predators fluids. What the hell? Union and system protected itself, hid secrets from parents, demanded more money. Wake up, California. Protect children now. So, yeah, the Los Angeles School District total payout surpassed $200 million in settlements tied to the sexual abuse of students at Miramont Elementary School by former teacher Mark Berndt, who was sentenced to prison in 2013. But the latest that I saw was that something like 17% of the kids in LA schools experience some form of sexual molestation while they're there. It's horrifying, but who's doing anything about it? And they have a whole system, kind of like the Catholic Church had, where if a complaint came up, the teacher would just quietly be moved to another school so they could continue to offend and not cause any trouble for the school system itself. totally sick. But like, this is L.A. school systems. This is who is teaching your children. And it's not just L.A., by the way. Don't get confused. It is across the country. We can go down to clip number 14. Chicago public schools bust at least 35 schools and up to 100 at least 35 schools and up to 100 schools. We don't even know how many schools, I guess, were involved in this May Day protest against Trump, indoctrinating kids to be far left activists and be rewarded for it and celebrated for it. Let's watch clip 14.
So what we know is that CPS agreed to provide buses and lunches for at least or up to 100 schools. Now, there was a lot of red tape that they had to go through in order to get there. But we know that there are many schools, at least 35, that are confirmed busing kids during the school day to a park for a partisan political rally. So, yeah, it's really messed up. It's high schools, and we do believe that a couple of elementary schools are participating.
We see kids getting off the bus right now. These kids are being bused into protest, United States of America. You can see behind me, this is what's happening. We don't just have kids being bused into protest here. We've got them with megaphones. We've got them with posters. Were they making the posters during school hours? Probably. Look at how young some of these kids are. This is middle school, elementary school. So many megaphones.
Who paid for all those?
This isn't a conspiracy theory. That when you hear that they're indoctrinating the kids, this is not a conspiracy.
Using taxpayer dollars to fund activism for elementary school and middle school kids to go protest against the government about things that they couldn't possibly understand or have a, you know, educated and enlightened view on. It's pure indoctrination, just abject indoctrination. And of course, we know that basically all protests in this country are manufactured at this point. If you have a real protest, well, you'll end up like January 6th. That's when people without, you know, orchestration, without hundreds of millions of dollars from major leftist organizations get together and protest and actually petition their government for a redress of grievances as laid out in the First Amendment, you see what happens. They get pepper sprayed. They get shot with less than lethal weapons. They get forced into the police line. Riots ensue. And the federal government does a shock and awe campaign to arrest everybody involved. When the left protest, the schools send buses to bus children to the protest. Like, are you seeing a little bit of a difference here? Are you seeing a little bit of a incongruity and a disequality beyond inequality? Again, do you want more? Because I got more stuff about the LA school system or school systems around the country about the indoctrination that our kids are being subjected to, how it's being done with taxpayer money. I mean, it's outrageous. I'm telling you, there. And let's go to clip 12 here because that's a little bit long. We won't go to that one here. But the May Day was it was a gigantic, well-funded operation across the whole country with the school, whatever they call unions involved, sending kids out, training them to get ready for this. But we've been explaining for a while, and I never know exactly how much importance to put on this. Because we have so much stuff going on right now. We have so much stuff that's just like immediately threatening. But we know that the United Auto Workers Union and every other major union in America is planning on a massive literal communist revolution on May 1st, 2028. Again, I've only seen two people talk about this, myself and Carlin Boroshenko. Got the name right that time. And this is something I noticed and talked about. And she was like, yeah, dude, they've been playing this for a while. But you've got every major union in the country all collaborating so that their contracts expire on May 1st, 2028. And their stated intention, their open and avowed plan is to use this opportunity to shut the entire economy down as a hostage situation until they get the political demands that they want. Again, I don't know what our country's doing. I don't know what our federal government is doing about this. But this is the world that we live in now, where left-wingers, communists, can be planning 2 years in advance. We are going to do a communist revolution on the 1st of May, 2028. And I'll shout about it, and Carlin will shout about it. A few other people will make noise about it. Nothing will get done about it. And when May 1st comes, it'll be a crisis. It'll be a disaster. Everybody will be surprised. These people are making plans 2 years in advance. They have 2 years of checklists to get to that ultimate revolution. And that is absolutely what it is. Go look at the German Revolution of 1918. Go look how the Bolsheviks carried out their revolution in 1914. This is the playbook. It's insinuate yourself into the most important industries, use the unions of those industries to shut down production, bring the economy to a grinding halt, and say we demand universal health care and income redistribution, basically a laundry list of communist talking points, and say we're not opening up the economy until you give in to our demands. That's what they're planning on doing. Now, they do not have a right to do that. This is not a democratic process to utilize their position as supposed to be a union representative, just trying to get the best, you know, negotiation platform for their employees. No, they're using it as political organizing to overthrow the duly elected government of the United States and impose communist rule. So we got to stop them. And what happened on May Day this year is just a preview and a practice run. They'll have another one in 2027. And then come 2028, it will be all hands on deck, full bore. It'll be George Floyd meets May Day meets January 6th, all rolled into one. Only the communists will be destroying our country economically, and the media will be, of course, on their side and acting like this is a brave stand against a racist and capitalistic society. So they're preparing, they're training, and they're indoctrinating your kids to be involved and to be active participants in this. That's the warning that everybody needs to hear. And again, I do have more videos about all this stuff, but we'll have to get to it. We'll have to get to it a little bit later. Although I guess since we're on California, we were just talking about California. Let's go to clip number 11 here. This goes perfectly in line with what the show yesterday was mainly about. Yesterday on Sunday Night Live, I went through a lot of the ways in which the Iran war, the fertilizer collapse, the data centers, it's all combining to basically totally deprive us of the natural bounty of the earth. Like, they're going after our water. They're going after our food. They're setting up the conditions in which rationing becomes justifiable. And as soon as rationing becomes justifiable, it becomes a tool in their toolkit to suppress and or destroy you. So yesterday we showed that a Virginia homeowner put in a FOIA request about his own backyard and saw that at some point a government program had flown a drone over his backyard, taking pictures and video, and had labeled him a suspected food producer. Now, I genuinely and what's happening in Oregon is very similar. If you have a puddle on your land, they will call it a lake, call it a waterway, and claim that they have jurisdiction over it. They're passing laws to prevent people from gardening in their backyard, saying that your backyard garden is a farm and therefore requires special permits to do it. What would motivate anybody to do any of this is my question. Sometimes things just happen and nobody even gives a reason or an excuse or a justification for it because there isn't one. Who is going to sit down with literally anybody and say, what is the threat of a backyard garden? Who would be against a backyard garden? There's only one reason you'd be against a backyard garden. It's because you don't want those people to eat. What other reason could there possibly be? Do you think they're missing out on tax revenue? What tax revenue? It's a backyard garden. Because you don't go to the store and buy the food, so they can't tax it, so they're just like trying to squeeze that extra cent from you. I don't think they're hurting that much for money. I think it's about preventing you from feeding yourself. I think it is about forcing you not to go to the store, but to go to the government distribution center, scan your digital ID, and get your allotted cornmeal for the month, as long as you're not white and privileged and clearly have to starve to death as repentance for the sins of your ancestors. I mean, that's the type of stuff that's going to be unrolled in, you know, probably before May 1st, 2028. And I don't know what other excuse there could possibly be for going after people's backyard gardens. There's no excuse. Just like there's no excuse for why they're building the data centers. Nobody's even tried to explain it. Nobody has ever once sat down and said, if we don't build these data centers, everybody's going to die. That's why they get all of the land and all of the farmland and all of the water and all of the resources and all of the energy components. Like, why? Why would we do this? I don't think it's worth, I don't think these data centers are worth anything. I don't want them to exist at all. But what is the payoff that we're getting in exchange for all of our fresh water going to these places? And California's one of the worst when it comes to data centers. But let's go to clip 11 here. This is Gavin Newsom with an NGO that is basically stealing all your water. Let's watch.
The Nature Conservancy, who initially helped broker the deal to shove farmers off of their ranches and dairies in Point Reyes, is now cashing in on the deal. They're going to be awarded, granted, $2.7 million to, quote unquote, help rewild Point Reyes. And of that money, only $78,000 is going to the actual project itself. The rest is in wages for planning and indirect expenses. Complete bogus. On top of that, the letter wields supporters. And of those supporters are those people that we need to be aware of, including Congressman Huffman, who has shown his true colors and is clearly against agriculture. On top of that, Lily Verdone, who is the executive director of MALT, is also in support of this. MALT, if you don't know, is an organization that's supposed to help preserve agriculture. But yet she's a previous TNC employee and clearly on the wrong side of the lines in this battle. I know I don't want people like Congressman Huffman on the board because he is clearly in support of the deterioration of agriculture across our state. And he is time and time again taking out farms. We don't want people like him wielding power. Let's keep people like him out of office.
Across the whole world, farms are being destroyed, and there's a reason.
Well, we feel really good that we're one step closer to achieving one of the primary goals that the families had when they brought this litigation, which was to prevent Alex Jones from ever inflicting the kind of harm at scale that he had inflicted upon them.
We look forward to infesting your social media feeds with caricatures and grotesqueries of the very people who have ruined our media ecosystem over the last 10 years.
I am going to make a big announcement right now, and that might affect our relationship. And I am pledging myself to Satan and to the Prince of Darkness.
Oh, I read about this last night on a website.
After a decade of trying to shut us down and spending hundreds of millions of dollars to do it, believe they will be successful shutting us down Thursday night at midnight. But we're starting the Alex Jones Network. And the coordinates of the next phase of the InfoWar is alexjoneslive.com. So if you want to stand against the tyrants and against the censors and against the globalists and against their goal to shut us down, share that URL in your whole email list, your text message list, all over X, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere else. The coordinates of the next level, the next phase, the chapter in the fight against the tyrants is alexjoneslive.com. And go to alexjonesapp.com and download on Android or on Apple free the app for the new Alex Jones Live show that has audio and video feeds, the articles, special reports, and more. The tyrants are counting on you to not take this serious. They're counting on you to not take action. So take action now at alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. The ball is in your court. Roll over and submit to tyranny or stand up and fight 1776 2.0. You're unstoppable. But I know this. The answer in 1984 is 1776. And if they were looking for a fight, they better believe they got one.
If you are receiving